Well, folks, we're going to go back over again, and we're going back to the talking about the healing anointing. We had left that. The Lord had me do there three Sundays. We did. I didn't know we were going to do that one as long as we did three Sundays, but we did. And but the Lord spoke, it put in my heart to come back over here. We are talking about the healing anointing. It's one of the things that if we're going to, in which we are, we're in a move of God. One of the things you're going to see is the healing ministry will come back again more to the forefront. And one of the things that we need to understand is, you know, I was thinking about, you know, we're singing songs today. We were singing about honoring God's word and all these kind of things. And as I was worshiping there, I thought about the fact is like, you know, we had, back when I came into the kingdom, there's a move of revival going on. And some people, you know, get over into things as why things change. Well, I'm just going to tell you, why, how do we get away? There's only one reason that people get away and stops a move of God, and that's to leave the Word. There's loads of people today call themselves Word, they call them, they preach the Word, and they don't. They preach a facsimile thereof, something that sort of sounds like it. But there's one thing, if you move away from the Word, you're always going to see the power of God is going to wane, always. No matter how, if you want to bring a revival to an end, move off the Word, move away from it, and it'll start. And what happens is when revivals come, lots of times people get over and the Word just doing good and this and that. And after a while, they're just standing on what they see, what they feel, and all this stuff. And they slowly leave the Word. And today we're at the point, we're afraid we don't like the Word. Many people don't like it because they think it offends people. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Word will offend you if you like to be a sinner. It'll offend you. It'll make you uncomfortable. And the church needs to come over. We got to preach the gospel where our intent is not to offend. Intent is not. We're trying to get people saved. But you can't get people saved with this watered down gospel that they have today. They're not going to get saved. If a person doesn't come to the knowledge that they are sinners, that they are lost and headed for judgment, they will not accept Jesus Christ because there's no need to accept Jesus. There's no need to. If God, you know, if I don't think I'm wrong, what would I want with Jesus? If I think I'm right, why would I need Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what, I came to the point that I knew that I needed Jesus or I was in a whole lot of trouble. And yet everybody has to come to that. If people don't come to that realization, there is no salvation. The Holy Spirit, His job is to convict the world of the love of God. No, it isn't. He's to convict the world of sin. He's to convict the world of sin. That's what the Scripture says. He's to convict the world of sin. Love of God is the answer to sin. But if a person doesn't come, today all we do is tell them God loves, God loves, God loves, but there's no conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit can't be in that. See, if you bring the Holy Spirit back to the church, you'll bring the power of God back to the church. And that's how you do it, is by telling the truth. It's the truth that makes men free. It isn't people's message of what they think the truth is. Now, when we were over teaching about the anointing, one thing is we looked at a number of things about it, looked at some scriptures and stuff about. And the point of that was just to bring us over to understand concerning the anointing of God and the power of God are talking about the same thing. When we're dealing with the healing anointing or the healing power of God, they're synonymous with one another in Scripture. And we wanted to bring that out in there. We talked about a number of things, of people and that stuff, and we're going to go back over and even looking into these things that we have already talked about, scriptures and things. But what we're going to do is we went all through these things as about the healing anointing, about ways and things that it works. There are certain things that are laws and rules, and if you don't understand these things, you're always going to have difficulty responding to the anointing of God or even ministering it to people. And we need to there's things that we need to understand. We're going to go over to Luke, the 5th chapter again. We were over there and we're going to go back there, because we want to look. There is we could call it a law or we could call it a rule or whatever you want to. But we talked about this before, but we're going to lay them down because it is a rule. It's the way things operate. And one of the things it is the number one law, and you need to understand this. If you don't understand these things, we're talking about, you're going to always have difficulty on the areas of healing and different things. You're going to have trouble in these areas if you don't understand these principles, these things we're laying out, because this is just the way that it is. One of the things that the Lord showed me and going over some of this stuff again was the fact of, do you realize how few personal incidences in the New Testament, especially in, we'll take Jesus' ministry. John said if we wrote down everything that he did, he said the sky couldn't even hold it. You know, you wrote it all out in the sky. He said the earth, you don't think it hold all that he did. Now just think of we have four small gospels really. They're not huge. And in those gospels, we have a limited amount of times where it speaks of personal healing. It speaks of what actually happened personally. We know that multitudes were healed and this and that. Understand this. If you don't understand what went on in those personal healings, those were the ones that God gave us that explains how this stuff works. And if you don't get them, you'll never get healing. Most of the church, and even most of the spiritual church, they read those things, but they don't actually, somehow people look over it and they don't understand what happened. They just read over, well, Jesus healed. Well, that's great. How did he do it? How did the person get it? They can't tell you. Well, it was just Jesus. You know, he'd just do anything. Which means, really, spiritually, this is what this means. Nothing. It means nothing. You believing God can heal, what does that do for you? Nothing. If I believe he'll heal me, that's a whole different story. You believe in God heals, big deal. You know, I believe Trump has millions of dollars, but I can't believe he's going to give me a million. He has never stated it, written it down. He never wrote me a letter. He never did any of those things. I have no basis to believe that he'll ever do that for me. And you need to understand, people walk around thinking it's some big deal. They believe, oh, God could do anything. What on earth does that matter? Most people that believe that can't get nothing done. That God don't see, they can't get anything happening for them. But we think this is some kind of big, great statement. It's not. It's what you believe that God will do for you, or what you understand that God does that you can cooperate with and walk with. Now really, we're dealing with the number one law. We talked about this, but we're going to go over it again today. But really, it's just a rule or a law. Just because the healing power of God is present does not guarantee you will be healed. You understand that. Just because it's present, there's no guarantee that you will be healed. And we're going to look at it scripturally again. We're going to look at it again scripturally. We're going over this and over this because it isn't enough that you know this. You need to be able to tell people. Most Christians and spirit Christians you're going to talk to are ignorant of these things. They don't know. When they talk about healing, they're just trying to get something from God. They want, and that's good. It's wanting to get something. But what we're dealing with is we started off this whole thing is we started teaching about my people being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. He didn't say my people are destroyed because the healing anointing ain't there. It's lack of knowledge. The biggest thing that you can have is knowledge of God. And we found out about, and we talked about we talked about the yoke. We talked about what the yoke was, and really it is the yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke. And so we're dealing in the areas, especially focusing on healing. And now in Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 17, we read this before a couple times, but I'm going to read it again. It said, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, and look at it. He puts it specifically concerning the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He said they came out and where they've come from everywhere around. In Luke 5:17. So now they came out and it said the power. Now he specifically, God inspires the writer Luke to write down that the power of God was present to heal who? The Pharisees and the teachers, specifically. It says, it's telling us really about this certain group that came that filled this house up. And it started, the power of God is present to heal them. So, that without a doubt we know. It says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop, let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose up before them, took up what he had been laying on, departed to his house, his own house, glorifying God. And says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. You know what? Does it say that they were filled with faith? See, this is what happens to unbelieving people. They get filled with fear. They get filled with faith. But we see here in this, the power of God was present to heal them. So in other words, the healing power of God is present. It's present in this place. Yet we don't see, now it couldn't have had any feeling to it. It couldn't have had any sight to it. Nobody saw this or felt it. Now, I want you to think about that. These guys, how did these guys know that the healing power was there? They believed it was there. They hadn't seen a thing or heard a thing from the standpoint of what was going on that day. They didn't look down the street and say, yeah, it looks like the anointing's down there. Let's get him over there and get him down there now. Nobody's seeing nothing. Nobody's feeling a thing. Yet the power of God is present to heal. Now, we know from the fact of the story, we talked about this before, Jesus comes along and sees their faith. You need to understand this. The healing, anointing, and faith, man, they run hand in hand. See, number one, he could see their faith. Why? It isn't about it. They took this guy down there. Now, we know this by what's going on. They must have had to say this. Hey, let's get him down there and get to Jesus and he'll get healed. Jesus is in the house. Let's get him down there. They had to be talking about this. We're going to take him down there. Now, they had said about it, but Jesus sees their faith. Why? Because when they got down there, they're acting like they believe if he gets into Jesus' presence, he'll be healed. They're acting like it. This is, and look, I'm not saying it's a criticism of anybody. This is where most Christians fail. They can believe, a lot of Christians, I'm talking about people who are taught in the areas of faith. They believe something's true. They'll believe it's true. They'll say it's true, but then they don't act like it's true. Their actions. If an obstacle gets in their way, they quit and go home. Or they just, well, I guess that just wasn't for me. I just don't understand. I just don't know. I thought that was, you know, yeah, I'll tell you what, I believe if I went to Benny Hinn's meeting and he prayed for me, I believe I'd get healed. But I tell you, I just don't feel like driving the whole way down to Baltimore. Well, then stay home and be sick and just throw your faith right out the window. If you believe you get it, you know, I'll tell you what, if I had something and I wanted to get well and I wasn't getting well and I thought I could get to something and get well, I'd go there. I just don't believe all these knuckleheads are just so willing to use their insurance and let, you know, take some medicine and something and just walk around their life, you know, just having something all the time when they say they believe they can get rid of it. How stupid. I say ignorance gone to seed. Number one, most of the time, most people really, the reason they don't go is they really don't believe if they went it would work. They don't know. That's why they're hesitant about going. I don't want to drive the whole way down there and come back home and didn't get healed. That's what it's really about. There's a lot of talk Christianity. Good talk is good. Talking by faith is a powerful, great thing. But just talking, wind blowing, that can destroy you quicker than you believe. There are people who have talked so much of Christian lingo that after a while, that's all they ever talk is lingo, the Christian lingo. They got all the right words. They never speak by faith. Yet they get around, everybody thinks they're really taught, they're a faith person. They don't ever really have faith. They're always talking their Christian lingo. Faith brings things to pass. You can measure your Christian life by the things that come to pass that you say you believe and say. You can measure. If the stuff you believe and say don't come to pass and don't help you, it's a good chance something wrong. It's a good chance something ain't working. You know, when I got born again, it changed my life. Faith did something. It changed my life. I didn't get saved and say, you know, I don't want to go to church or read the Bible. I don't need to. I don't need to do it. Now, I really love Jesus, but I want to stay as far away from Him and people who love Him as much as I can. But I'm really a Christian. Now, Christians today believe that's so. You get saved. Well, they accepted Christ. Yeah, go ahead. You believe any old third thing you want. Like Brother Hagin used to always say, the proof's in the eating of the pudding. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. He didn't say, by what you think about it. You'll know them. It don't matter. But we have here in these people, the power of God is present to heal. These ones come into the presence. There's nothing they feel. Now, we know that some of the Pharisees and stuff, they had to be sick. Why would it specifically emphasize the fact that the power of God's present and concerning these people? So some of them needed, but we don't have any account that any of them got anything. Their response to the manifestation of the healing anointing is to, wow, that we saw some weird stuff here today. That's the response. Oh, my God. Okay. Let's not have that. But we can see clearly here in this incident that the power of God being present, we know it is because we see a lame man walks off a bed, yet no record of anybody else who was healed. So the power of God is present, so we know this. It's not a guarantee that anybody's going to get healed. But we do see the fact that faith, these people with faith, and what was their faith? He could see their faith. What kind of faith did he see? See, this is here's one thing, and get this out of your mind. I don't care if you're born again and you got born again faith. That don't mean you have any faith at all for healing. Over the years, that's been the hardest thing for me lots of times to get across to Christians. They get offended when you deal with them that they don't have faith about their... What do you mean I don't have faith? Well, they have faith to be saved, but they don't have faith to be healed. Now, we know this. There is absolutely no faith in operation in that house till those men come in who had faith. There is no faith in operation. They're all spectators. They all believed in God, but they're spectators. They're there looking around. They're in the natural. The healing power's there to heal them. They don't even know. They don't know. Jesus has a healing ministry, but they don't know if they're going to get anything, whether it's there or not. They're waiting for something to happen. And when something does happen, their response is stupid. Let's get real about it. It was dumb. Wow. Ain't that something? We've seen strange things today. That's a good religious response. I want to go home and think about this a while. Say, yeah, what do you have to think about? Dear Lord. But we, you know, is getting over the things of having faith. These people, we see that when the healing anointing was present and these guys had faith for healing, those two things came together. Bang, it happened. It happened. And really, that's what brought it to pass. And that's why, just because the healing anointing is present, there is no guarantee that you will be healed. There's more to it than that. Many people think, well, you know, if it's going to be there, then you know, my chances are better. Not necessarily anything at all. Not at all. It's like Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin had a powerful healing anointing, yet his meeting is only about 25% got healed. So that means 3/4 of the people, 75%, didn't get healed under the same anointing. Why? People aren't responding by faith. Most people don't. Most people, you know, they go and they say things, yeah, God wants me well. Me knowing God wants me well doesn't do me any good. I have to receive it. I have to use faith. I have to receive it whether I feel something or don't feel something. I have to receive it. It's true. You know, I'll never forget believing that Jesus Christ was Lord and God raised him from the dead. I remember accepting Christ, in my house, 321 Canal Street. At night, mom and kids are in bed, and I had come home from second shift, had been working, and came home from Reese's second shift, and I accepted Christ, kneeled down on the sofa, and accepted Christ there. You know, I didn't even have any feeling God was in that room. I didn't have any feeling of nothing. I had more faith as a sinner than lots of Christians do. I just believed it. And I accepted Jesus that night. And you know what? You know what happened to me? No big burden lifted off of me. I didn't all of a sudden feel this great freedom. I had none of that. All as I knew is I did the right thing. It was just something about, I just knew I did the right thing. That's all I knew. And you know what? I walk better life as a Christian than 90% of the people that I know that sit around and talk about all the marvelous things that happened to them the night they got saved and this big weight come off of them. Well, if a weight got off of you, walk right. What I got was the manifest. I had the fruit of the life. I got the fruit of the life. You'll know them by their fruit, not know them by they say. You know them by their fruit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know people that never saw Jesus, never, you know any big experiences in their life. It's just, you know, but have walked and followed God in their Christian walk, and they've had no big miraculous things. I know people have had big miraculous things happen, and they don't walk right. This is a faith walk, whether you realize it or not. What makes it work is the faith. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You can't live off, I can't live off the experiences that I've had, and I've had a number of them. I don't live off my experiences. I live by my faith. I'll tell you what, I'm the same whether I have experience or not, because the Word changes not. What I'm standing on is the Word, not my experience. I don't care if Jesus appeared to me. I don't care if I saw an angel. I don't care whether I've seen a lot of stuff and had a lot of things. I've had visions and stuff. That does not move me. The only thing that moves me is the Word of God. And I walk by faith. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you what, to succeed as a Christian, you're going to have lots of times you're going to be walking in the unseen place. And you're going to have to stand on the Word of God. And you're going to have no sense of anointing. You're going to have no sense of none of that. You're going to have no sense, and you're going to have to walk. And what do you do in those times? Because those are the big times. The big time isn't when you had the vision or the dream. That's not the big time. The big time is when you don't have the vision of the dream. The big time is when you wake up and it don't feel like a burden's left. It feels like a mountain fell on you. And when you get up and you say the Word of God is true, God has strengthened me, and you don't feel like you have any strength at all. You feel like you've just been beat down. See, those are the times. That's what the Word's about. It's easy to make confessions after you just had a vision. But I'm going to tell you, you didn't have a vision and trouble comes. We'll see who has the fruit or not. And that's what you have to find out. See, we want to believe. This is about us walking along in life. You're saved. Hallelujah. No matter what happens, you got to be convinced in your mind. I don't care what you got in your heart. You got to get it in your mind to fight the fight, because you'll get out here, you'll look at what you see going on around. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. You know, I hear people and they're talking about, you know, Jesus coming. People are wondering whether they're going to go. Christians. Why? Because I know why they do it. They don't walk by the Word of God. They walk, you know, I've had my shortcomings and I've missed it. See, they're walking over there and what they're feeling. Seeing, they ain't walking out of the inner man. They can't change their life. You can't change your life if you don't walk out of the inner man. You'll just be religious. You walk by faith. We walk by the inner man. Hallelujah. The Word of God's true. I'm saved. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what the devil says. I know what the Word says. Hallelujah. And I know what I believe in my heart. And I speak it with my mouth. It's the truth. And it's the truth that makes me free. Hallelujah. I don't care what men say or what people are doing. And just walking in the truth. Glory to God, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. I don't care what anybody else says. Somebody say, that's the devil. Go ahead, say anything you want. It moves me not. People, you can line them up down through here and all tell me I'm wrong. I don't care. I have no interest in it. I know what the Bible says. Glory to God. I just look at them and smile at every one of them and feel so sorry for their ignorance. You can't be moved by what you see and hear. The only thing that has to move you is the Word of God. You have to come over to that place. And that's why if the Bible says that if the presence of God is there to heal, then you got to come to that place that you believe. That's it. And just because I don't feel the presence of God, it matters not. And just because the presence, even if I feel it's there, there's no guarantee that I'm going to be healed. Why? Because this is a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. Hallelujah. Now, we also talked about, and I want to share with you this woman with the issue of blood. We had talked about before, but looking at her again because of the example. We can't go by just because the power of God's present. And in Mark the 5th chapter in verse 25, it talks about her. We're just going to read it through again. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood 12 years and had suffered many things by many physicians. And she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. This is a wonderful picture of faith, just like those guys that went up on the roof. She heard about Jesus. She had made a confession. She said, if I could touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. So what does she set out to do? Touch his garment. See, if you say, I went to so-and-so's meeting, then I'd be prayed for, you know, I believe I'd get healed. You have to act on that or you're lying, one of the two. Because your faith not acted on, if you are in faith, your faith just became dead because of your inaction. See, this woman said, I believe something. This woman, for 12 years, she suffered. We know she's a lot of trouble. She ended up poor over this thing. Took all of her money. She heard about Jesus. She believes. She's acting on this thing. She heard. She believes. And now her action is taking her down there to Jesus to touch his garment. She did. And what happened? Jesus said, go home, dear woman. God wants you sick for a purpose. Says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately turning, knowing in himself the power had gone out of him. So in other words, we know the power. We talked about the power. Remember, we talked about the anointing and the power. So we have here power, or we could say anointing. He knew it left him. He knew something left him. Something went out of him. And I've talked to you folks about the fact. I can tell when people, sometimes I pray for people, I don't get a sense of it flowing. Lots of times I do. I get a sense of the flow. I can tell when people are using faith and when they're not. It isn't because I'm spiritual. It's because of the healing anointing. The anointing, when it's operating through me, I can feel whether it goes or not. I can tell when I'm ministering under the anointing and I'm not. If you don't know, I don't understand people tell they don't know about the anointing. I don't know how you live a Christian life without one and not know when it's working or not. I don't, you don't ever know if it's working. I don't get it. It's like, you know, I have a car, but I don't never drive and never do anything because I don't know if it's working. I just don't, I've never seen it, but I have a car. No, it just works. And you touch people and you can tell. You know, I was trained in electronics in the service. And you know, you could tell when electric was flowing through circuits or not. You could tell. You know, it's always best to use meters and don't touch it. You know, that was always the best way to do it. Every once in a while you did something stupid and touched. Then you knew it for sure. Yes, then you had that your faith went to sight and feeling. But you knew it was there. But the whole thing is the idea, if that's flowing through a circuit, and it's just like electricity, you can tell if it's going into something or not, and you can tell. That's just the way it is. You know, the reason that most people don't ever experience, because they don't ever pray for sick people or they don't ever do that. If you don't do that, you'll never notice anything like that'll happen. If you don't do it, why would you expect to wonder what is ever going to happen? You wouldn't know if it flowed or not, because, you know, It's like having a, you know, something and never plugging it in the wall, something electric and never plugging it in the wall and walking around with it. You're never going to know till you plug in. So, you can tell. I remember before I was ever in the ministry, praying for people, and I could tell the anointing would flow out. I'd touch people and things and that stuff. I noticed this when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I noticed it, it started to happen when I would touch people sometimes to minister to them. All of a sudden I would know something. It would just come to me, different things to speak to them or speak over them or something. It just comes to me. It happens a lot. I mean, I'm so used to that over the years. I mean, that's just commonplace. Word of knowledge comes to me. That just happens all the time. But I can stand the person on it for some reason. Then you touch a person. See, touch is a huge thing. There's a reason we do that. It's not because we're so loving and friendly. That's what most Christianity thinks this is all about. It's all about emotion. It's all about, you know, no, it isn't. It's about the contact and transmission, folks. I'm a battery and got a charge to do stuff in me. And when I touch people, it lights things up. That's what it is. It ain't about me liking you or me having a great love for you. There's a lot of dead Christians who say they love people so much and do things to destroy people's lives out of love. That's not what the laying on of hands and all this is about. It's about a contact and transmission of things. Things are transmitted through the contact. Just like when you plug something into a socket, you plug it in. When you plug it in, then it starts to do something. It's no different than that. It's exactly how it works. I can't find a better way to describe it than that, of how it works with me. So when I touch somebody, it's like I plugged into them. It's like all of a sudden we're connected together. And I don't know, sometimes I don't know things, that stuff, when I touch somebody. Now, sometimes it works without me touching people, but generally, lots of times, when I'm ministering to people by touch, that's when things come to me. Now, sometimes things don't come to me. Don't think it's weird if I touch you and nothing comes to me from that standpoint. That doesn't mean that the anointing's not there. That doesn't mean the power's not there, just cause it don't. You know, cause all this works by the Holy Spirit. It don't work by Ed. It don't work by Ed. It works by the Holy Spirit. So I touch somebody, you know, if it comes, fine. If it don't matter. I've seen as much or sometimes bigger stuff happen when nothing, it didn't seem like anything there. It doesn't matter if it's there. I am not moved whether I got something or feel something. I am not moved by that. I've learned over time that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. My feelings about it, your feelings about it, I have no interest in it. Because that has nothing to do with the Word of God coming to pass. That has nothing to do with God's power present. And you can't get over it. You go to that area, you're always going to be limited. You're always going to limit yourself when you go to the feeling realm and the seeing realm. You're limited. You're limited to that realm. I like the faith realm. That's an unlimited realm. Faith in the Word of God is an unlimited realm. There's no limits to it. As two agree by touching anything they ask. It doesn't say as two as agree by touching anything they can see, feel, or have an emotional attachment to, or, you know. They don't say that. Don't say, if you feel you got goosebumps, and then if two of you agree, you know. If the moon and sun are in the right position and the stars are aligned, and then this is the time, then we do this and it'll work. No. To agree is by touching anything they ask. Jesus said, I will get in the middle of that. Jesus can't get in the middle of your feelings. They're crazy. They're like mine. They're crazy. Your feelings are crazy sometimes, you know. My feelings sometimes don't make any sense. We don't go by our feelings. We go by the inside. I learn over time, you can't go by what you see. We walk by faith. The greatest thing is to learn is love this. It's just like today, they talk about like videos and stuff that are put on things. They're so edited and stuff now, you don't know what's true and what's not true about things. That doesn't move me in this day and age. Because the only thing that moves me, the Word of God, and it never changes. If it gets changed by a man, I'm going to check it out. I can always check it out to find out if it's true or not. I can find out if it's the original or not. I can do that. And when I know what the original says, then therefore I know it will never change. It's never going to be different. And I can stand. Hallelujah. Always get yourself into that. That's why we always measure everything by the word. Jesus' disciples were couldn't figure out what was going on. Jesus immediately, he said, knowing in himself that power went out of him, he said, he turned around the crowd and said, who touched me? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? Now, this is one thing as I know. See, the disciples were ignorant concerning the anointing and how it worked. They didn't know. You know, there's lots of things you find out, really, that people sometimes around Jesus, other people, had more sense about some of these things spiritually than the disciples did. This is what I know. He didn't choose them because they were a bright bunch of guys. They definitely weren't. This is what you need to know. God didn't call you out of darkness into light because you're so cool and you're so neat and you're so smart and you just, you know, he didn't do that. He probably called you because he saw this poor idiot out here. And he said, I'm going to bring him in and I can anoint him. I could turn them into something if they'll listen to my and follow my anointing in the word. They could be out to something good. But understand this. If God pulls his anointing off of you, you're just going to be another Saul in the earth. Nothing but a troublemaker. I never met a Christian who don't lose the anointing. Ain't nothing but a troublemaker. You can get around to lose the anointing. You can get around to get rebellious and stuff and God pulls his anointing. You don't want to go there. Saul had the anointing pulled on him. There's people today got the anointing pulled on them, and they're a problem. They're a problem. You want to walk and follow the anointing because it's the anointing that does it. It's not us. He doesn't choose many wise. He doesn't choose. It's the anointing. God's grace, and he's given us his word. And it comes down to this. We believe what his word says, no matter what anything else goes. In other words, my intellect and reasoning to sit down and figure out what science said about it or whatever else, it's what his word said is true. It's what his anointing works in me and strengthens me to do things and strengthens me to walk. It gives me the wisdom to walk into areas that I'm called to, that I can go and walk in. That's all by the anointing. You take the anointing away and you got it. And you know, the anointing moved off a Christian becomes this. You're no better off than you were when you were a sinner. You'll live just like the rest of the world does. You let the anointing leave your life, and you'll live just like the rest of the world lives. The only difference between us and the world is God. It ain't us. We don't come to some genius place. Number one, if the anointing of God leaves a person, you'll forget the revelation that you did know. The only reason we maintain any of this stuff is because of God working in us. It's the grace of God that works inside of us that's keeping us and keeping us in tune in things and walking in things. We don't walk in this stuff and do this stuff because we got so bright. That's why we lost the anointing in the 90s and saw a wonderful move of God go out the door. All these bright Christians and all these bright ministers. They left the anointing. We got where we got by God, and you ain't going nowhere without him. It requires God working in us. It requires supernatural. It's the grace of God that starts his thing. The grace of God keeps it going. And the grace of God finishes it. Hallelujah. It's the anointing. Glory to God. All you do is you keep responding to the anointing by faith. So when you see if the anointing is believing the anointing's presence, it's just like this woman here, she touched it because the disciples said, my God, where... Jesus, don't you see all these people touching you? Don't you get it, Jesus? What do you mean? You know, they weren't, just think, all the time they'd been around Jesus and watched all this stuff going on, they haven't noticed. You know, there's things, I remember the Lord spoke to me to go out to a camp meeting one summer when they were having it, it was out in Tulsa, told me to go out to Brother Hagin's camp meeting that summer. And that was the summer in 1983, he talked to me about the anointing. And he said, now this is interesting because the Lord said this to me concerning the anointing. He said, I want you to go out there and watch how people do things when the anointing is on them and they're ministering. Watch how the anointing works through a person. Well, you know, I never had paid much attention to that. I'd never really thought about that before. I'd never really thought about it. And so I said, well, Lord, I'll do that. And I remember watching, in fact, Oral Roberts was one of them ministering that year out there. Brother Hagin, Oral Roberts. And I really appreciate, because Oral Roberts dealt with the anointing on his life during the healings of the revivals of the 50s and the things that he went through. And there's one thing you need to know. Oral Roberts believed in the anointing of God. He didn't believe much in himself to be able to accomplish a darn thing. He just, if the anointing wasn't there, he would not. Now, this is how desperate he got. He wouldn't leave his hotel room to go to minister till he felt the anointing drop on him. He wouldn't go. This is what Oral Roberts said to us. He told us, he said, most people talk about the big tent where I'd go in and minister to people and all that go on. He said, the first place I ministered, he said, most people don't know about it. He said, we had another tent. If you ever look at pictures or photographs of Oral Roberts from the air of his big tent, you'll always see another tent set up over to the side. That tent set up over the side, that's where people were brought in that were too sick to be taken into the tent with the other people. He said they would bring them. Most of those people would come in by ambulances and stuff from hospitals. He said people, their bodies, the cancer, just rotting away. He said when you'd walk in that tent, he said there was a stench in the air from the disease and the sickness. He said that's where I ministered first. And he said I'd tell God, God, I can't go in there. God, and you don't anoint me, I can't walk in that place. I can't go there. You know, most ministers don't know that today. They'll try to go on their own. He knew. If God don't move, ain't nothing going to happen. Those people are coming there. They're in desperate situation. And he knew without the anointing of God. He said many times, he said, my driver would beat on my motel door and say, we got to leave. The service is starting. And he'd say, I ain't leaving till God anoints me. And he wouldn't come out the door. He wouldn't go out. He knew what a man he was. And without God, he was just a man. Oh, I wish people would figure that one out today. We would lose half the ministers on television today, probably more than that, if they figured it out. God, I got to have the anointing. If God doesn't anoint, it's just me. And if I have the anointing, and when God talked to me about my anointing, then I had to start to work by faith. When God anointed me in 1983, in July of 1983, it was on a Saturday afternoon, and I will never forget. I went Sunday. I got on a flight, and I'll never forget flying out from Tulsa. I flew to St. Louis, and they called it St. Louis back into Harrisburg. And when I took off of the St. Louis airport, we spun around and came back out and flying over. And I remember looking down, could see the arch down below on the Mississippi River, and the Lord. I remember looking out that window and the Lord said, I anointed you. He said, I don't care how you feel or what you think going on, you're anointed. He said, you always act and talk like you're anointed. Don't you ever talk different. He spoke to me that real clear, looking in that plane, flying out of there. I've never forgot it since. Whether I feel it, no matter what's going on, I'm anointed. See, it's getting over. All see to it. You got to act by faith. I have to learn to act by faith. I've got to learn to walk by faith. Because you'll get out here into situations and you'll start, boy, trying to get something when you got something. You keep trying to, and this is people keep trying to get something when they got something. And he said, you don't forget, don't ever forget that you're not anointed. You're anointed. That's why concerning ministry, and I know what he's talking about, ministering the word. Don't you ever talk like you're anointed. I'll tell you, there are Sundays I have stood here, and I'll tell you what, I often think about it. When I don't sense the anointing on me or working on me, sometimes I think, dear God, this thing better kick in because I want to go home today. I don't want to be here. Hey, folks, sometimes I can feel so, from a feeling standpoint, I can feel so unspiritual and thinking, dear Lord, I can hardly even get into the worship today. I just think you're sort of dragging things. I'm thinking, dear God, what am I going to do with this? If the anointing don't. But I'm anointed. Don't matter what it says, God. And if it don't manifest, that's his fault. I'm walking like I believe it. He'd be a liar if he don't manifest it. Well, I'm going to tell you this, folks. He ain't no liar. Hallelujah. See, because it doesn't matter whether it seems like it's there. That doesn't matter. It's what's really there. It's what's really happening. It's what's really going on. What's really happening going on, it's anointed. Now, I'm going to have an anointing to teach and preach the word. You may not have it from the standpoint of what I got from that standpoint of that anointing. But you're a Christian. You've been called by God. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm tired of Christians trying to win the healing ministry. They've got one and won't take it. They don't take it. Why? They don't believe. They try. They look at somebody that they see operates in something and tries to get them to do it instead of believing they have it. I can lay hands on the sick. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. See, you can cast out devils. You don't have to call somebody to cast them out. I mean, I almost fell over back some years ago, called by a ministry, a big church, to go deal with a person who had a demonic problem. And when I got there, I found out they didn't have a demonic problem. It was they went to that church. That was their problem. It was the unbelief there. Well, whether people like it or not, you go there, and I'm thinking, these people, they graduated in the same school I did and everything, and they're calling me to get down and cast the devil out of somebody. I'm thinking, dear, you ain't got nobody in this place. You got 3,000 people go here, and ain't nobody cast the devil out. And I thought, my God, he must be standing in the pulpit. Well, dear Lord, he's running the place. Calling me to cast the devil out of somebody. Dear God, my words. I mean, I went down there and dealt with it. I told him, I said, I don't know. I said, there's one thing as I know. I said, if I get around anything of spirit, I said, God always shows me. I said, I'll know if it's something there or not. I said, I'll know. Say, how do you know that? Because I'm a believer in the Bible. God wouldn't have told me to cast out devils and I wouldn't know. So you don't cast out devils by presumption. That's what I heard a minister say, a big name minister said this one time. He said, well, I pray for people and just in case there's a devil there, I cast it out. You don't encase it nothing. That's unbelief. That's not, if you don't know it's there, you can't cast it out. We don't take a shot at it. Well, maybe, if there's a devil here, let's bind him today. Well, there's some here. You know, I'll tell you, well, the devil goes to church much more faithful than Christians do. He's much more faithful. Well, he is. I'm not lying to you. Do you think there is no demons around any place? I'll tell you what, they have a hard time with me. It's tough coming to Ed's church. It's tough for the devil. My God, they talk the truth in there. It makes you crazy. Just some people bring them with, you know. They got the car full of them. You go to some churches, man, they probably got those seven worst spirits per person. Hallelujah. Those demons that shows, they'll show up. I mean, do you ever think about the fact, if the devils won't ever show out to church, you'd never deal with a demon with anybody. It'd never happen. And at times you do deal with demonic stuff. People get yielded to things. Sometimes people ain't bad. They get over just wrong information about it. They get yielded to something. They don't realize what they're yielded to. And sometimes you have to deal with it. This is one of the things I found out why so many people, I know certain people over time that could not come to this church and they couldn't church. And I'll tell you why. Because they had demonic spirits. And every time they came to church, they got so uneasy, they had to leave. They couldn't stand it. They had to leave. The demons had dominated them. They couldn't stay in the church. They had to go. And they wouldn't let you deal with their demons. They don't want nobody dealing with them. And they leave. And I knew why they were leaving. Totally uncomfortable. That demon that operates in them, every time they get around, they'll go to any place or anybody that ministers, and the word's being ministered, they become uncomfortable. That's why lots of times you go to these real big meetings and that stuff at places, and real they'll have, you know, like, you know, camp meetings and different things like that they'll have go on. You'll see demonic activity and stuff start happening because people will come to those places, and you have the word preached, and you have a lot of people in there, you know, that do walk by faith. And what happens, that presence in there gets pretty strong, and somebody has a demon, they have a hard time not acting up. They have a hard time because of that unseen, the unseen power of God. You don't see nothing, but let me tell you what, the demons sure know about it. They know what's going on. Hallelujah. Well, I want to look here too. Go over to Mark the 6th chapter, because is another example. We talked about this before, about reading through it, because we're talking about the fact is that this is a law and a rule that the anointing of God can be present, but that doesn't mean you're going to get healed. It's just like the woman with the issue of blood. We have no account. Now we have Jairus, who asked Jesus to go to his house, and Jesus went to his house, and his daughter had died but was raised from the dead. Some wonderful things you can teach from that. There's a really good things you can teach out of their principles of things. But we're looking here specifically at the anointing. So everybody else is around. Other people are touching Jesus. So we know this. The anointing doesn't come out of somebody just because you touched them or they touched you. Here we have with Jesus. Crowds are pushing against him. The disciples think, what's this guy talking about? Who touched me? All these people touch you, but nobody got nothing. Why? Because they're not in faith. This one person's in faith. See, I love, to me, it's such a clear layout. In fact, Jesus used the woman with the issue of blood to Kenneth Hagin to give him a teacher. That fact, if you follow the principles that she did, Jesus said this, you'll be healed every time. He said, you'll be healed every time. Jesus said that, told him in a vision, told him that. See, that's why you look at these things and look at what they did, what's going on here. Praise God. In Mark, the 6th chapter, it says this, then he went out from there, came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter's the son of Mary, the brother of James? And you know, I always wonder that this next one, how you pronounce that. And you know, I went and looked up how the pronunciation is, because I've heard people pronounce it. Actually, it's pronounced Eosis. I didn't know that. And I looked up and thought, you know, I was never clear on that. And I looked it up, but it was Eosis. Well, there was Judas and there was Simon. And it says, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So in other words, Jesus came, talked good things to them. They knew about his working and his miracles. And it wasn't, yahoo, my God's visited us. We're going to have a great time. They were offended. Folks, I've seen that happen already in the church world. I've seen people, I have ministered places where people got offended. They aren't glad to see God doing something. They get upset. I've seen people get upset because of somebody they didn't like got healed, or somebody they didn't think was as spiritual as they are, and the person got delivered and they didn't, and they were upset. I want you to understand this. When somebody gets delivered or healed, I don't care if they're a backslidden buzzard. I get excited. If God heals them, then that was the good thing. You know how many people are not excited when other people get healed? If you can't get excited about somebody else, you probably never get your own. You get excited about when other people get delivered and other people get set free. Get excited about it. But some people don't, why would God heal them? Why didn't he heal me? You just named it. You already told me why it didn't work. That was an easy one. Why that don't work. I tell you, get excited when other people, you know, they were offended. It says, but Jesus said to them, prophet's not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people, healed them. And it says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. So then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So we see down here, God, Jesus Christ is going to his hometown expressly to minister deliverance and healing to his people. In fact, we'll find out later on as we go on this teaching, we're going to look at Luke's writing on this, talks about what he read to them. He told them that he was there to heal the brokenhearted, set the captive. He told them that, and they didn't like it. So in other words, he preached the word to them, but they didn't like it. You know, and sometimes you need to watch yourself. You know, some people are not as interested in the word as they are the vessel. I've heard this said, and I found out it's been true many times. God sometimes will send what you need in a vessel you don't particularly care for. You better learn to take what God sends, no matter what the vessel. So many people are worried about personalities and all this kind of junk. It's what God's sending. You know, if it's the truth will make you free. You know, don't get caught on personalities. People are just people. Nobody's perfect. People do and they mess up. People are just certain ways. You know, I know people don't like I know a lot of people don't like because of my boldness and my things. But there's people just don't like that. When the Lord told me to open a church and pastor, that was one of the reasons why I wouldn't. I said, Lord, everything I ever read about a pastor is going to be. I said, my personality ain't a pastor's personality. I ain't got what you call a pastor. I said, they write all these books. And that's when he told me to throw the books away that they had given me about pastoring. He said, you throw them away. He said, these guys, he said, I called them to start a work to do a certain thing. Now they wrote it. Everybody's supposed to be just like they are. That's what most people. Most people want this. They want all pastors to be exactly the same. And they want all everybody. I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't fit the mold. I said, I don't see myself as a pastor. I said, that ain't my personality, what I am. God said, I know exactly what you are. He said, that's why I called you and put you here in Lebanon. He said, they need you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, as I've looked over Lebanon over the years, man, they don't need half the pastors they got. And I ain't trying to be, it's not to be mean to people. They got too much mush out here. They got too many people that are just too, you know, they won't deal with nothing. They won't stand up. Don't stand up for God. My job ain't to stand up for you. I represent Jesus Christ. I'm going to be standing up for Him. Everybody wants somebody that's going to stand up for them. Well, get walking with God, doing His will. He's the one that's got to do that. That ain't my job. They want this and they want something. And that's why they have drawn teachers to themselves. They've got the guys they like. That's not what we're called to do. The Lord said, I know exactly what you are. And that's the same time He told me, I don't want you to pray about this again. He said, you get up off your feet. You know exactly what I told you to do. And I said, yes, sir. Boy, I didn't pray and ask anything about a church again, whether I ought to start. That was it on that number. He didn't say, you get out of it because you don't have the right personality that people want. He said, I know your personality. He said, that's exactly why I put you here. So if you don't like my personality, you have to talk to God about that. But lots of people don't like it. They like something bold. We're in a society. That's why they hate Donald Trump. The devil hates anybody that will stand up for something heading in the right direction. They will hate them. And now we got more sinners in this nation and we got saints, and that's why so many people get against him. And the church has as many sinners as in the world, and they're pointing the finger at him. Praise God, somebody got some backbone to stand. You know, as I found out, natural life is working in any place. I would rather work for a supervisor who's not always right about things, but makes decisions, and we just go do something, than these indecisive little wimpy things that they call trying to please everybody on their job and trying. I could never stand to get around and somebody's like that. I'd say I'd rather head in the wrong direction than just go no direction. It's today, it's all, trying to keep people happy all the time. Trying to, you know, we don't want to cause problems. Well, see, the church hasn't taught. See, when Christianity moves out of a nation, then turn around and submission to authority leaves. And nobody submits to leaders. Nobody submits to them anymore. And the leaders become people trying to keep the people happy all the time instead of blowing them up. And that's what it becomes. And everything becomes a mess. See, America doesn't have leadership. They don't understand a man that won't kiss their feet. They don't get it. I like his tweets because he stirs them up. These ignoramuses and Christians don't get it. They'll say, he shouldn't say those things. He does it to irritate them. Don't you get it? That's the point. You make them crazy. No, Christians would rather go crazy themselves. Look, I'll just make me crazy. You know, we don't even need his help. I'll do it. He does it to make them crazy. I like it. Listen, but he stirs up trouble. Oh, don't you know this nation is so much trouble as it is? Dear God, nobody can start any more trouble that's already here. God! dear, we're in trouble up to our necks. And somebody's worried somebody's going to cause trouble. Oh, my God. It's like, oh. That's because the church has been laying empty hands on empty heads. That's why. The ministers have nothing to give the people, and the people have empty heads. Hey, there's plenty of those churches in town. You don't have nothing between, nothing spiritual between your ears. There's nothing going on there that's in line with God. And they bless you. Oh, yeah, I'll bless you. I'll bless you, you know. People without anointings doing nothing, playing this stuff, and everything just keeps going the same way. They don't understand when somebody stays up. You need to understand this. Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ came, do you just dress normal and that stuff came in here, he would be hated by most of the church. He would be hated if he came and said the things. I didn't come bring peace but a sword. Oh my God, we want world peace. Dear Lord, we're praying for world peace. Yes, so am I. Jesus will come back and the next time he steps on the earth, he's going to kill every bad person. That'll straighten that one right out. World peace will come. World peace, until that happens, we have no sign of world peace, and praying for it will never bring it to pass. I pray, God have mercy, just don't kill all the idiots right now. Give them a chance to accept Jesus. It ain't going to get pretty, folks. It's not going to get nice. Dear Lord. And all this bit of, we're trying to do all these things. I tell you, read the Bible. It's a wonderful book. Hallelujah. Jesus went to minister to people. Jesus went to minister to people. No matter how anointed he was, there was just a few sick people he got healed. He marveled at the people's unbelief. He just, can you believe this? They know all that I've done. See, so even the natural didn't move them. The natural don't move them. It's amazing, I found out, especially among religious people. If you go out, and I say Christian religious, let's put it like that. Because if you went out to it, like, and I've seen it myself, you go to another country and they have other religions, you go show them that your God will do something and they'll chase after you. You go to America and you show them God does something through you, they'll run you out of town. America don't want it. When I first started off and started going to other places to minister, and you can ask Wanda. I used to say, Wanda, I don't want to live in America. I said, I can't stand it. I said, I don't want to minister. I said, I tell Wanda, I don't want to minister to people in America. I don't know why God put me in his church here. I don't want to minister to these people here. I said, I want to go to the places I go to. Man, you can get stuff done. God will move and do things. I said, man. I said, I get back home and it's like being in another world. It's like stepping out of the glory. And I came back to America to the unbelief. Well, sure, because it gets hard. It gets hard. Now, I saw this, and it happened in Fiji, just like it got like in America. I first started going to Fiji. I'd go to Fiji and minister. And, God would do things. It was wonderful doing things through them. But I saw this over the years. They had Bible school there that they had started, and our church, you know, helped with that Bible school and get that Bible college up, and I'd go over and teach over there. And I saw this happening. As you began to teach them the Word of God, they started getting intellectual, and I tried to warn them about it. I said, you need the move of God here just as much as you did before. We ain't following God because I got smart and I know a lot. You're always going to have to walk by faith in the Word, and you're going to have to rely on the anointing. You can't minister because you're bright and you know stuff. Because you'll get over there to it. And I started watching them over time. They started doing that. And as they started doing, oh, we know this and that. And they started getting smart about stuff, you know. And they started to get, they got over, you know, God starts to do, they start to get blessed. And they're in their building programs and are in all their stuff. And after a while, they're doing all this stuff. And they're slowly moving away from the Word of God. They're getting busy. We're busy now. We're busy. They're busy laboring for God. Yes, their labor. And the ministers aren't staying close to God. I watched this in a big name church and that I was around for a couple years. And they started a building project, and the pastor got started getting away from God, he started spending all his time on this building project. I know one guy that I knew very well over the years. He's passed away here a couple years ago. His wife's still alive. We know him well. They lived in Idaho, and they end up leaving the church because the guy went to the pastor, and he told the pastor, he said, "Pastor," he said, you spend 12 to 18 hours a day down here at this church building and trying to control everything, run the building of this thing." And he said, "You can't be spending time in the Word and spending time with God." He said, "You can't be my pastor and how we're spending all this time down here doing all this stuff. You can't." Why? Because he wasn't spending no time. And you could tell. Every time he went to church Sunday morning, he had another canned sermon. You got the point where you could tell almost every week for the following year, he would preach in line, the same sermons would start coming out. This big faith minister. Same stuff coming up. Why? He is so busy working. He's not spending time with God. What did Peter tell him? He told, "You got to get workers in here to take care of stuff," because he said, "I got to spend time in the Word of God, and we got to spend time in the Word of God in the prayer." Most ministers, they need to find out what their job is, and it ain't what they've been doing. My job is to spend time with God. So when I open my mouth in front, you ain't hearing a book report, and you're not hearing, you know, the latest thing that somebody else said that God said. That's what we're supposed to do. That's not what people want today. People want today somebody that's going to take care of all that stuff while they just go back and forth from church and they just have... I ain't going to be that guy. If I had to quit pastoring to spend time with God, I would quit pastoring. Good preaching, folks. My God, it's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. See, people don't know. People swear they follow the Bible and what the Bible says, and they're not. Peter said, we need to spend time in the Word and prayer. We can't get ourselves. You can't get the leadership away from the Word and get them over there. We got to stay in touch with God. Why? Because you'll end up like all of them always do. Follow their own direction. What seems good. I'm just telling you this. I don't even know what seems good. I'm serious. I don't know. If God can't direct me, it's just me. And I've had enough of that. I lived 30 years with me before I ran into God. And it's like, I can't live out my life like that anymore. There's no way. You can't stand before people and minister and preach the Word and you can't spend no time. You're so busy on the natural things all the time. You can't do that. There's no one. You people just have jobs, you go to work and things like that. Well, God calls people to do that. He didn't call me to do that. I'm not called to do that. See, this is what we want today. We want the ministers to take care of everything and run everything. They were never called to do it. And we wonder why churches turn into carnal things. It's because the people turn it into a carnal thing. I just want you to know this. I'm not like you. I had the hardest time. Let me just tell you. I had the hardest time. When God started first working in me, I had the hardest time as a Christian because God was dealing with me from the standpoint of being in a full-time ministry. And the anointing, even before I stepped into ministry, things would work in me that I knew that had to do with full-time ministry. And I understood that, understood about the anointing. But I had a rough time because I would see things, understand me from a standpoint of direction. I didn't see myself like the rest of the people. And it wasn't because I decided to do something. What was working in me was different. What working in me was not the same. And at first I thought, Ed, what is wrong with you? Well, I thought that a little while. Then I turned around and I thought, well, if nothing's wrong with me, then what's wrong with the people? Why don't people have the drive that I do in the direction that I'm? Why? Why don't they? And I could, something's wrong. I had a terrible time with this for a while. I'm just growing up and learning about this stuff. And I'm trying to figure out what is going on. what drives me is different than what drives the regular person in the in there. It's because, see, some are apostles, some are prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We're not all the same, and there's this group that everybody really has not dealt with properly because they want us to be like everybody else. I can't be. There's things that I see and know. It's the strangest thing. I would see and know things about what was going on in people in their lives. Things about, maybe you could pray about it, help a person, or sometimes for your own protection, I know. But it had to do with the ministry standpoint. It wasn't that Ed was special. It was the anointing in me. See, it's so people can direct stuff and you can do stuff. So you can see things that are going on. If you don't know something, you ain't going to know what to preach about and things. You'll deal with everything out of the natural, what's going on out here. And I see things going on. I think, wow, you know, why don't anybody else see this? Well, I didn't realize. Nobody else was supposed to see that. That was what was working in me. I'll see things and know things you guys won't know about the church and about the body. You won't know. I'll see things and know things about people in ministry you won't know. And God won't even talk to you about it. It has to do with the anointing. It isn't Ed's bright and Ed's this really great guy. God will show him, won't show nobody else. It has nothing to do with that. And it took me a long time, and I had a hard time. I had a tough time. I thought I was messed up. Because then I turn around, and God sends me to a church, and there's a pastor who isn't walking in his anointing, and I see all this going on. And after a while, I think, God, and he's wanting me to be like him. And I'm thinking, I can't fit into these places. They're trying to shove me. And I'm thinking, God, what is wrong with Ed? I was told that I had a mental problem. And I said, yeah, before I saved, I was. I said, insane. I finally got saved, but I was an idiot. I'll go with you on that one. And you take the anointing, and I'll tell you what, I'm insane. So let's, you know, this is God working. And see, I didn't know. I couldn't figure all this out. I didn't have anybody to talk to me about it from a ministry standpoint. Ministers I got around, they knew nothing about it. They didn't know anything about it. They saw themselves like everybody else. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with Ed? And then I started to find out later. Got around some people, but God started dealing with me things, and I found out the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastors and teachers are set in a difference of the people, and they're put there for a purpose. It's sort of like a corporation runs. A corporation don't tell everybody in the place everything. Now, everybody in the place wants to spend their time knowing everything else is going on when they're supposed to do their jobs. And they're not going to tell you everything. It's because the positions they're in to run things, they have good sense to know you don't tell everybody everything. That's the last thing you ever do. And the person that wants to know it the most is the last person that should ever hear it. Because they'll be the most problem. If you've been in any kind of supervision spot, you know that. God works among people. And this is where you walk by faith. You got to just trust. You got to get over the years of faith. You know, I had to learn to a pastor who wasn't really operating a lot of times in his anointing, but I had to learn to walk in faith with God concerning him and his place, and God had to deal with him. Ed couldn't deal with him. I found out Ed tried to deal with him. Ed learned, just don't say it. Just let it go along. Just let it. God has to deal with him. It's like Saul, God had to deal with him. David learned, I don't deal with it. There's things you deal with and don't deal with. There's things that, unless God tells you to, you don't do. But in position of place, and this is why, you know, we talk about gifts differing. But in the body of Christ, most of the time, everybody wants to be the eye, everybody wants to be the foot, everybody wants to be the, and we're not. And that's why it's finding out. As Mike says, you know, you find out your place, you find out what you're fit. You take your place and you do yours like you're supposed to. Find that place, fit into it, and do what you're supposed to do. That's what you find out. It's just like, you know, if I tell people, you work jobs and that stuff. One of the greatest places that you'll fit on your job of walking in spirituality is learn to be a good employee, learn to submit to the authorities there, learn to find your place, how you hook up, and follow that thing out. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're a housewife living at home, taking care of kids. you find your place, you do whatever it is, set yourself to be good at it and do it and boo, whatever it is, a blessing. You start doing that. That's one of the greatest things that you can ever do. You will never find your final place till you take your place right now. Whatever you're at doing right now, don't use praying about God. God, am I supposed to be in another job? If you're not doing this one good, it doesn't matter if you belong on it or not. Forget it. I don't care if you missed it. I don't care if you're in a place you shouldn't be. You do right when you're there. And you do good while you're there, and you be good. You put your hours in and work that you're there. Housewife, you know, don't lay in bed all day and doing all that. Get up out there, do things, do stuff. It's going to affect your life if you don't. You be good at what you do. Learn to be good doing the things and that stuff. No matter what it is, and anybody in some place, you work at it. You do it as unto the Lord, whatever you're on. And God will bless you. You don't need to hear about another position when you aren't taking care of the position you're in. This is good preaching, folks. See, we wouldn't be on each other's backs about a lot of stuff if we paid enough attention to where we're supposed to be. But if I seem strange to you sometimes, I am. just so you know. But you know, but God's called me a place. I see things maybe differently than you do and that stuff. But you know, there's one thing. People get all upset. They get a company. A guy will come along and become a CEO of a company. Now, this is America today. And this is the media and even the Christians jump on it and get up. And they'll pay the guy, you know, $28 million a year. And then they'll have him set up when he leaves. He can have another $28 million bonus. And everybody gets all upset about this. They get mad. Yet you watch this guy come in and take over a company. And he takes a company that's maybe making $2 billion a year, and now they're making $10 billion. I'm going to tell you, if I jack somebody's up even $1 billion, I better get a good cut out of that one. His money is pittance to what he brought to that company. Like I had a guy tell me one time, all that money, we ought to get some of it. We're doing the work. And I said, if you're doing the work, how come you weren't making those extra $1 billion of years if you didn't need it without him? How come you didn't do that? The same principle falls in the body of Christ. The same principles fall in the body of Christ. See, we can't get in the body of Christ and have this junk that's going on today and have this stuff that's going on when people think like they do, like the world. They're full of the world and they're thinking they don't understand about prophets. They don't understand, how to make, I make a lot more money and why that guy at the top? Yeah, it's because he's responsible for the whole thing. And if it goes wrong, he's responsible for the whole thing. He's at the bottom with hardly any responsibility wanting his stuff. You know what? When you lose that kind of thinking, God can bless you. But as long as you own that kind of thinking, don't expect God to bless you. You can't get upset at somebody else making out real good and you want to make out good. You're going to reap what you sow. Any company I work for, I want them to make money because I ain't going to ever make money. They don't make money. I feel so sorry for employers today. I feel so bad for them of all the lousy people they have to get working for them. It's all this stuff. I need a paycheck. No, you don't. You need a job. If you do a job, you might get a paycheck. If you just want a check, just go on welfare. Don't do nothing. Get some money. And then expect to prosper. See how it works. Hallelujah. Well, I got meddling there for a while, but I'll tell you what, I believe it's the Holy Ghost. We're stepping into a place. We don't realize how much the world stuff has gotten into the church. Most congregations think, and even in spirit-filled churches, think like the world thinks. Think exactly like the world does. And why? It's preached to them. That's what they love. They drew preachers in to preach that to them. I'm okay in the way I think. I'll tell you what, the way I think's messed up. I got to get God's thinking. That's why we have the mind of Christ. It's for the purpose of changing. I've seen over the years, I fight it just like you do. Over the years, some things are said certain ways and done certain ways. After a while, you start to lean to it. And you got to stop yourself and say, hey, hold it, hold it, hold it. That ain't right. The Bible don't teach it that way. We just get over yielded to it. I mean, how many churches preach, you know, the guy who teaches and preaches your word, he ought to get a double. He gets a double portion to the guy who teaches and preaches the word. Well, see, people wouldn't like that. I don't want no preacher earning twice as much as me. Well, you ain't going to ever earn as much as the preacher talking like that. I'm in the business. I want people blessed. I want people. I want you guys to earn more money. That's my desire. I want you to get more money. It ain't so I get more money. That's my desire. I want people blessed. I believe God for Ed. You know, I can believe God for Ed. I've done it. But see, you get over to things. You want people blessed. That's the whole point. You don't get over and look at somebody else. Because the Bible has a term for that. It's called covetousness. When you don't like what somebody else is running, that's your problem is you want it. If I can't have it, I don't want them having it. They make too much money. How much is too much? So if somebody came along today and offered you $28 million, you would turn it down, would you? I'll guarantee you wouldn't be one of those people would turn it down, those liars that always go through those little their little devilish routines and act like it's Christian and hold it up as like, I'm spiritual. They ought to give that to the poor. I often ask people, talk about giving to the poor. Do you know what I do when people come and ask me about giving to the poor like these, one of these organizations? I always ask the person, how much do you give? I always ask them. How much did you give? You know what 90% of the time the answer I get? Oh, my going around and asking people, that's how I do my giving. I said, that's how I do mine too, so I won't be giving to you. I'm just going to ask people. 90% of the time, that's what I get out of people. They'll say, well, that's how I give. I said, look, you don't put your dollars in it, Ed's dollars don't go in it either. If your wallet ain't in it, my wallet ain't in it. That's simple. That's how I give, asking somebody that. That's how I do it. I see you can keep your paycheck and go around and get everybody else's money. I know you don't become popular. I know you don't just become Mr. Popularity doing that kind of stuff. Because you be honest with people and you show them for what they are. They're not happy with you. But they want to go on believing they're nice people. And they have enough Christians and preachers to say that they are nice people. So they keep doing it. And doing it, and doing it. So you know what they do? They reap what they sow. People just, all they ever get is somebody coming asking them for money. They don't ever get any. That's all, they reap exactly what they sow. And they say, I don't understand. I don't believe God wants people to be rich. He don't give me nothing. He can't, you're an idiot. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're smarter than this stuff, aren't you? Amen. You know, if this stuff makes sense to you, I'll tell you what, you're a genius today compared to what's going on out here. I'm serious. You're the rocket scientist. My God, if you could walk and chew gum today, you're a rocket scientist. I don't know if people can even do that. Hallelujah. But we're being a different people. I want you to get yourself over concerning, like we sing, you know, when we come in the mornings and that's why the things that we sing, that song, and the presence of God's here. It has nothing to do with feeling. Has nothing to do with that. Many times I sing that song in the morning and I'll tell you what, I don't feel nothing. You know, just like I can stand here and I'll sit and I'll praise God. And I think sometimes I'm praising God. You know, it'll just come to me. Are you faking this thing? You know, because you don't seem to have a sense of feeling. No, but I'm still going to confess what's right. I'm still going to say what's right. And we do this stuff. Why? Because the presence of God is here. We're not waiting for it to come. People say, I believe God's everywhere. And then say, we got to get the presence of God. Well, then he ain't everywhere. See, we have so much confusing preaching going on. I don't understand how the church can get up in the morning and tie their shoes. It's so much confusion. No, you start with God's here. We're here, God, wherever we go, God's here.
That's right.
Wherever you go, the presence of God. Wherever you go, the presence of God. Think about how wonderful that is. The presence of God. Wherever you go, there's healing. You don't ever get out of range of it.
Amen.
Just think about it. The healing. It's there. or wherever you go, the presence of God, the anointing of God. How wonderful. I mean, just think about that. How glorious this is. This is why you got to think about it. That's why it's present. Yet this is why most of the people don't come in contact with it, because they don't believe that. They think if the presence of God's there, you're going to feel something. You're going to have goosebumps. You're going to have this. And this is why people don't want to. It's there. Hallelujah. You're there. People say, God lives in me. And now we're trying to get God to show up. You know, Wanda lives in my house where I live. And I don't have to pray to get her to show up. She's there. Because she lives there. Do you ever think of the nonsense that the church goes through? It says God lives in me, and yet they're trying to get to God. They're trying to, I mean, we got to stop this stuff. We got to stop it. God has just been waiting for us to say, you're here. God's been waiting for us to say, oh God, I want to thank you. Your anointing's present right here today in this place. Your anointing's present. The healing anointing's present right now here in this place. It's here. Now, I know it's here because I believe with all my heart and know that if I'm here, the healing presence of God's here. Now, your belief is whatever you have to believe, but I know for a fact it's here because I'm here. Amen. I believe what the Bible says. It's present. Say, Ed, do you feel the healing anointing? Nah. Have you seen it? Nah. I believe what the Scripture says about it. That's what makes it present. It isn't present because of what we see or feel. And this is what it is nice when we see or feel something. There's nothing wrong with it when you do. But if you live by that, then you're only going to move toward healing when you see or feel something. If you learn to walk by faith, you can grab it any time. That's the wonder of it. Gifts of the Spirit are not the highest form of God moving. Gifts of healing are not the highest form of healing. The highest form of healing is you believe God and receive it. That's the highest form. That's the highest. You can't get any higher. Why? Gifts of healing only operate as the Spirit wills. Faith can operate at any time, any place. The healing anointing has to be present all the time, or faith wouldn't work sometimes. You get that? It works every time. This is the wonder of it. This is the beauty. That Ed doesn't have to live by how he feels about it. Ed doesn't have to live by what he sees. God laid out his word for us. Hallelujah. That we can take it anytime we desire it. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Why would we want some other way? And I feel so sorry people aren't taught this stuff. They're not taught it. And they're always trying to go get something. They're always reaching for something. And I feel so bad for them. That's why you don't want to call teachers to yourself. You want to let God send you what you need to hear. That's why these churches end up, is because they end up getting people that will preach to them. If God's will, he wants you well, he'll make you well. If he don't, he won't. They draw that to themselves. That's what they want to hear. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you for shaking us up. Lord God, there's a hunger. Lord God, there's a burning in me, Lord God, that is so beyond me. It's so beyond my mentality and my thought. Lord God, that there's things that are more to reach into. I don't even know what they are, but I just keep getting a sense there's things we need to grab, but I can't even see what they are yet. I don't even know what they're, but it's like we got to have things. There's things we got to step across into, that we got to walk out into. And Lord God, I want to thank you that you're bringing them to us. Hallelujah. Those things are coming to us. You're lining us up. You're getting, Lord God, you're bringing this thing. It's just as if you've done, Lord God, over these last so many years of bringing us over into a alignment. Hallelujah. Lord God, and Lord, this isn't just for us so we can walk in something. It's so we can help others get into it. So we can help others walk in this thing. Father God, Father, I believe that you're just, Lord God, raising up teachers in this church. People who comprehend and understand the Word, that they can share it, Lord God. Lord God, in a very effective way, their faith to other people. Hallelujah. And what you'll do. Lord God, we need more of that. Lord God, I thank you for, Lord, ones that are set aside as the apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastor, and teachers. But Lord God, Lord, there are people within the congregations of church that you raise up exhorters, people who can exhort and can step out, Lord God. Lord, can effectively share their faith, Lord God, not just to get people saved, but to get people healed and delivered and set free from demonic powers. Lord God, that they can share these things correctly in the name of Jesus to help people. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we need more people, more ministers. We got too many out here, Lord God, that you put in offices and they're not taking their place. They're not standing in their office. They're not doing those things. Lord, we need people in offices. We need people who can share, people who can walk in things for. Lord God, I want these people here. I want them casting out devils. Lord God, I want them laying hands on the sick and the sick recovered. I want them in there walking in this supernatural, Lord God. Lord God, that you anoint them to speak words, hallelujah, and to minister, Lord God, to bring people to the place of faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, that's what, Lord God, we need these things desperately in the church world. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, there's been so much said, oh, they'll just know us because we're, you know, Christians, because we're nice and we're feeding them and we're doing this. Lord God, if the gospel isn't preached, there is no faith in Jesus Christ and nobody ever gets saved. Lord God, it's not just living good. It's good to live good. But Lord God, raise up preachers. Raise up ones who'll say the words. Hallelujah. Raise up people, Lord God, anointed of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Lord God, if these ministers won't step in line, then anoint new people. Hallelujah. Bring ones out, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and anoint them, Lord God. Lord, push those other ones out of the way. Hallelujah. The Word must go out. The Word must go out. The Word must go out. There is no faith without the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word must go out. Anointed ministers of the Word. Oh, Lord God, in Mark it said the signs followed the Word. It followed the Word. It accompanies the Word. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we definitely want the signs, but Lord God, the Word goes first. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Effective, Lord God, effective ministers of the Word. Effective ministers of the Word, operating under the anointing of God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, the Bible said, Lord God, the Word says of the child, a child will lead them. Lord God, hallelujah. Well, we're children concerning the faith. Hallelujah. Anoint people in this place. Hallelujah. Lord God, you don't anoint people just because they went to some school and learned something. Hallelujah. Lord God, your anointing turns people into something. Lord, there's many people who have stood greatly in offices. Lord God, never attended a school, never went to any of that. Lord God, anointed. They were hungry and thirsted after the Word. And Lord God, you used them mightily in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I believe in this day and time, you'll do the same thing. You're going to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Raise up ministers. Raising up ministers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what I want to see, Lord God. Oh, thank you. Lord God, we sure do need it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, for the people right here in this place. I thank you, Lord God, for strengthening them with might by their spirit in their inner man. Lord God, hallelujah. Strengthen them with the might of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Lord God, that Christ dwells in them by faith. They're rooted and grounded in love. They're able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height, the length, and depth, and the breadth of the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, so they might be filled with all the fullness of you. Lord God, we want them filled with all the fullness of you. We want them filled with all the fullness of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I thank you for giving them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I thank you the eyes of their understandings are being enlightened, that they know what's the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance is in the saints. What's the exceeding greatness of your power to them who believe according to the working of your mighty power that you brought about in Christ when you raised him from the dead, seated him in your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord God, this is the church. Hallelujah. This is the risen church. Glory to God. We're your risen people. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, a people full of the wisdom of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, knowing our place, who we are, where we stand in Christ Jesus. Lord God, far above all principality, power, might, dominion. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord God, the church is head over Satan in the earth. We're head over Satan in the earth. We're head over Satan in the earth. He's not the head. The church is the head. And we're the church. We're the head over Satan in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why we always triumph. We always triumph. We can't be held down. We can't be kept back. Hallelujah. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the church of Jesus Christ. There's no way to put us down. Hallelujah. Because God's already put us over. God's already, you put us over, Lord. We can't go under. We're going over. Hallelujah. Lord God, you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're not going to do it. You've done it. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's a complete deal in the name of Jesus. A blessed people. Blessed coming in, going out. Blessed in whatever we do. Whatever we put our hands to, it prospers in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're the blessed of the Lord. That's what we are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against us to prosper. Glory to God. Any voice that rises up in judgment, we'll condemn it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Oh, Lord, it'd be good just to be a conqueror, but we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. More, 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 more. Glory to God. More. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The victorious church. The victorious church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.